Open your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 18, verse number 14. I'll be brief tonight. And if you came looking for a deep theological truth, then I'm sorry. This is not the night for you to come. But just something simple, something basic, something that is in God's Word, and something that hopefully will help you. When I get up and preach, I don't want to just preach just to be done and get it over with. I want to be able to help someone, and I trust that what the Lord has given me tonight will be a help to you. And the title of my message tonight is going to be Worrisome Wounds. Worrisome Wounds. If you're in Proverbs chapter number 18, I'm looking in verse number 14. It says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" A wounded spirit who can bear? Father, I pray that you bless just the next couple of minutes as we look in your word and we look at this terrible thing of having a wounded spirit. Pray, Lord, that you please help us to be careful of that. Pray, Lord, that you please help us to watch out for that and maybe look for some things that can wound our spirits. But I pray, Lord, that you please bless the service tonight, bless the preaching. In your name, pray, amen. Spirit in the Bible, the word spirit, there's several different definitions that you will come up with in the Bible. And when I'm talking, you get that spirit, the name spirit, I think there's like 15 different definitions that you can come up with in the Bible. But we're not talking about spirits tonight in the arenas of ghosts. We're not talking about spirits with demons or devils. We're not talking about spirit tonight, even necessarily in the sense of the Holy Spirit, although he does have to do with it. We're not even specifically talking about the regenerated spirit that one gets. Tonight we're going to talk about the spirit that everybody has, the spirit that's more of your personality or more of the attitude that you portray. Our spirit is a billboard to other people, telling other people what's going on the inside of us, the type of spirit that we have. And the spirit is something, our spirit is something that we have to protect. If our spirit gets wounded or our spirit gets damaged or corrupted in some way, it will affect our ability to fellowship or relate with other people. Now, I'm in an area where I got to be careful. I'm not trying to be touchy-feely here or anything, but a spirit that a person has, that is a real thing that we have and we have to be careful about. The spirit is something that God wants us to be careful about because the type of spirit that we have affects our relationship with God. It affects our relationship with God. And God said in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You know what God wants? God wants you and I to have the kind of spirit that Daniel had. And you know exactly what kind of spirit that is. Daniel chapter number 6, verse 3 says, Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. The thing that set Daniel apart was not Daniel's intellect. The thing that set Daniel apart was not his wit or even his charm. The thing that set Daniel apart was this thing that we're talking about, an excellent spirit. The spirit, the way that he carried himself or the way that he portrayed himself to other people, the way that he was around other people, that is what set him apart. And God wants us to have that excellent spirit. His excellent spirit is what stood out. Someone else that had an excellent spirit, I believe, was the man Caleb. Numbers chapter number 14, verse 24 says, "But my servant, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went. And his seed shall possess it." The Bible says that he had another spirit. Another spirit compared to who? Well, we did the song tonight. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. 10 gave a bad report. 10 gave a negative report. And by the way, God doesn't always... Just because it's true does not mean it always needs to be said. All right. Sometimes God is okay with a little positivity. You know, it's okay. We don't always have to have the sky falling. Sometimes it's okay to be encouraging. And they had a negative report, but Caleb had another spirit. I dare say that Caleb had an excellent spirit, because Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And Caleb said, "Let us go up at once and possess it." Talking about the promised land, "for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb was there. He said, "Look, man, I know the obstacles are bad. I know it looks tough. I've seen the people. They're huge. And I've seen the walled cities. But man, I'm excited about this. Let's go." He had an excellent spirit. That is the kind of spirit that God wants you and I to have. That's the kind of spirit that He wants us to portray. But the fact of the matter is, we're not always going to have an excellent spirit. I think I heard my wife say amen right there. We're not always going to have an excellent spirit. Why? Because we're humans. Because we make mistakes. Because we're going to have some things come into our lives that will, as Proverbs 18 says, will wound our spirit. You see, a wounded spirit causes us to lose a little bit of our joy. A wounded spirit causes us maybe to lose a little bit of drive, a little desire, a little excitement, some fervor. A wounded spirit, it affects how we see others. It affects how we treat others. Listen, it even affects how we see ourselves. And maybe even in some cases, how we treat ourselves, because our spirit is wounded. It can lead us to maybe just some restlessness where we're at in our lives. Maybe it can lead to some discouragement. It can lead to despondency. But a wounded spirit will affect our lives. Now, look, loosen up a little bit. I'm not preaching anything that's not in the Bible. This is Bible. This is from God's Word. What the proverb is saying here is that a person can take a lot of things. Hey, a person can take a lot of physical problems, but a wounded spirit is probably the hardest thing that it can take. A broken body can be sustained by a strong spirit, but a wounded spirit can never be sustained by a strong body. It doesn't matter how many weights we can lift. It doesn't matter how many miles we can run. It doesn't matter how long we've been on the Whole 30 diet. It doesn't matter. Now, that was funny. You can laugh. Come on, help me out a little bit. Now, it doesn't matter, because your body, really, I mean, that's great that we're doing those things and that you know, we're bettering ourselves physically. That's great, but a wounded spirit, if that is wounded, man, a physically strong body will not pull us out of that. The Bible says that our happiness should not be based on anything physical. Our happiness should not be based on health or wealth. It should not be based on money. It really should not even be based on whether or not people are treating us right. Our happiness, in part, not all the way, but in part, has to do with how you deal with the circumstances that are going on around you. It's how you deal on the inside with what's going on around you. That can determine how happy you are. You can have circumstances that are going around you that to others may seem insurmountable, may seem like it's very tough and really are very tough, but you can still have happiness and you can still have joy, because the joy does not come from the circumstances that are around you. The joy does not come from whether or not you're at an amusement park or you're on the job. The joy comes from God. And we can find that in Proverbs 4:23, tells us to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at some things that can wound our spirits. And then we're going to look at what we can do if we see that our spirit is wounded. If maybe something's just off. Maybe the joy isn't there. Or maybe the bounce in the step isn't quite what it used to be. Maybe something's not quite right. Maybe our spirit has been wounded and we need to get some help in that area. Hey, look, there's some people that are around you that need somebody to encourage them, and they don't need somebody that has a wounded spirit. They need you. So what are some things that can wound our spirit? First thing that I see that can wound a spirit are sayings or words. Things that people say or things that people say to you can wound your spirit. Proverbs 18, verse number 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruits thereof." Turn over to Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter number 12. Look at that with me. Proverbs chapter number 12. Verse number 18. It says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword." I'll say it again. "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Hey, maybe as a child, some mean words from classmates. Maybe, as an adult, some cutting comments from a coworker. Or maybe some sarcastic statements from a spouse. Hey, some words that are said can hurt. And that the phrase that you hear, you know, "sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," that's just not true. That's not truth. Words and things that people say can hurt us. And if you just brush that off and you just ignore it, then I'm sorry, but that's not the case. What people say, or listen, rather, what you say to other people can hurt them, just like what people say to you can hurt you. So some sayings or some things that people say, they can wound your spirit. Famed author Frank Peretti, he wrote "This Present Darkness," "Piercing the Darkness," "The Oath," my favorite of all of his series, which was the Cooper Kids Adventure series. And that was the best. You know, they were only about that thick, as opposed to, you know, "Piercing the Darkness" and the rest of those. But he's a great author. And when you read, he's got an incredible ability to write. But he wrote another book. And his book is on the wounded spirit. And that's because when he was a baby, he actually had a growth on his neck. This growth was so big that it actually threatened to choke him. So they had to go in when he was only like 2 weeks old. They had to cut that off, and that caused problems throughout the rest of his life. He always had a bad scar on his neck from it, kind of like the one I got from Brother Luke trying to help him out right here. That right. I'll tell you about that story sometime. Electrical. Make sure the electrical is off, people. It's not a good thing when it hits you in the neck. But he had a scar right here. His tongue, because of the illness that he had, his tongue was swollen. It was black, and it was sticking out of his mouth when he was a kid. Now, I mean, that right there, you see a kid, his tongue is swollen black and it's sticking out of his mouth. Man, that would be kind of hard not to say something about. But that, not only that, but he also had some problems physically where he has so many surgeries, his body did not grow at the same rate as everybody else. He did not mature at the same rate as everybody else. And because of his tongue, he had a terrible speech impediment. So here's this young guy. He's going through, he's got this grotesque mark on his neck. His tongue is swollen. He's got a speech impediment. He's smaller and shorter than everybody else. And everybody saw him as a natural target. And so they would use words and they would tear him down. They were mean to him. And he, in his book, talks about how he allowed those words to affect his spirit. But it was only through his faith and somebody helping him through this where he was able to get the victory over a wounded spirit. But there are two boys that did not get victory over a wounded spirit. Their names were Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris. If those names sound familiar, it's because they were the two gunmen at Columbine High School. Now, I'm not excusing anything that they did. What they did was terrible. It was horrible. It was heinous. I'm not excusing a thing that they did. But sometimes what we don't realize is those two boys at school, they were made fun of relentlessly. They took him and they slammed him into the lockers. Day after day after day, they would pour things over their heads and they would throw food at them in the lunchroom. It got so bad where they could not go from classroom to classroom. They had to leave the school, go all the way around the building, come in the back door so they could go to class without getting picked on. And you know what? Those two boys never got over a wounded spirit. They allowed some sayings, some things that people said about them and made fun of them about. They allowed that to wound their spirits. And it got to the point so bad where they went in and they took guns and they shot the place up and they did terrible, terrible things. But Frank Peretti, in his book, he said, "Who knows? But I would not have been there if I wasn't a Christian and I didn't have somebody who cared enough to help me through the wounded spirit that I have." Look, this isn't something that's just for kids. This isn't something that's just for teenagers and you know, try and work with the teenagers on encouraging one another and being good Christians. But this is something for adults too. You know, there are some things that maybe might have been said when we were kids that still hurt. There might have been some things, and again, I'm trying to be careful right now. I'm not trying to get touchy-feely. But this is a real thing. This is real. This is reality. Hey, there's some things that as a spouse, if I say that, it can hurt my wife. Hey, there's some things that maybe she could say that could hurt me. And there are things that can be said. There are some words that if we're not careful and we allow that and we dwell on that can hurt our spirit, that can wound our spirits. We have to be careful about what we say as a spouse, as a friend, as a boss, as an employee, as a parent, as a child. We have to be careful about what we say. We have to be careful not only what we say to others, but when things are said to us, we have to be careful to not allow that to wound our spirit. Look, I'm guilty of, you know, somebody not meaning it or in whatever case they come up and they say something to me and I take it as meaning this. And you know what? It ruins my day and I just stew over it. And if I'm not careful, that affects everybody else around me. I cannot do my job as a youth pastor to the full extent when I'm worried about myself and I'm worried about what somebody said to me and I'm worried and I'm dwelling on that and my spirit is affected by what somebody says. I have to be able to realize that this is something that can wound my spirit, so I got to be careful about that. I'm going quickly. We have to make sure that we have to be careful whether or not our spirit is being wounded by statements. The next thing that can wound our spirit is stuff or circumstances. Turn over to Proverbs chapter number 15. Proverbs 15, we'll look at verse number 15. Proverbs 15:15. I'm going to go quickly. It says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." All right? The days of the afflicted are evil. Hey, some things can happen that can afflict us. Something bad happens. We lose a job. Our car breaks down. We lose a loved one. We lose somebody that we care about. If we're not careful, that can affect our spirits. When somebody takes advantage of us, and listen, in this day and age, there's terrible areas where young people are taking advantage of, and what happens is they get taken advantage of, and that ruins their spirit for the rest of their lives. We have to be careful that that is not happening. When we get betrayed, when someone you trust stabs you in the back, that can affect your spirit. When we get false accusations, that can destroy a person. And not just their testimony, but that can destroy them on the inside. That can destroy the spirit and how they're able to trust other people around them. There are those who have been hurt by someone or by something, and because of that, they have a wounded spirit. Maybe it's not noticed at first, but they're lacking that smile they used to have. They're lacking that, just that little pep. They're lacking something. Because stuff happened. And that wounded spirit leads to some people getting out of church. It leads to some people breaking up their marriage. It leads to some people where they decide they're not going to serve God anymore in the ministries where God has put them. Some just can't trust anyone anymore. Why? Because stuff has happened and they don't like it and they're they cannot get over it and they cannot get help with it. And so that's it. They're done. I think every single person in here works with people in some way, shape, or form. In the ministries that we're in, bus routes, Sunday school class, even down to the nurseries, hey, you're dealing with somebody's child, somebody comes in, doesn't like what happens, and they let in on you. I mean, jail ministry, on and on and on and on and on. You can talk. We deal with people. And when we deal with people, stuff will happen. Why? Because people bring baggage with them. They bring stuff with them. And if we're not careful, that will affect our spirit. The next thing that can affect our spirit, statements or words that are said, stuff that happens, circumstances. And then thirdly, sin. Sin. Turn over to, or look there in chapter 15. You're already in 15. Look in verse number 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Some people, their spirit is down because of sin that's gotten into their lives. And I won't spend a lot of time here, but because of sin that happens. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says that he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. There are sins that we can commit that will affect our spirit. One of the telltale signs to see that a teenager is messing around with something is their spirit is different. They're not smiling anymore. They come in and you know, they're not quite looking at you. And the reason is because sin has gotten into their lives. Maybe they're starting to listen to some music. Maybe something has happened, but the spirit is different. Another thing another sin that we can allow is unforgiveness. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 10 says, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ." Listen to this. "Lest Satan should get an advance of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." That leads me to number 4, Satan. Satan is the next thing that wants to wound your spirit. John 10, verse number 10 says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You know what Satan wants to do? Satan wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy your spirit. He wants to steal your zeal and your joy, and he wants to destroy the relationships that you have with other people. He wants to kill your relationship that you have with God. He wants to wound your spirit. Look, I don't want to live with a wounded spirit. Are we going to have it? Yes. We're all going to get a wounded spirit at times. Why? Because we deal with people. Proverbs 15:15 says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." This is it, and I'm done. This next part is, when you get a wound, what do you do? When you get a wound, what do you do? Well, there's a couple of steps that you need to take. Cooper has a tendency to be on the dramatic side every now and then. And we were over at some friend's house, and at the friend's house, he's running around, having a good time, having a blast, and Leah stops him, looks at his toe, and says, "Cooper, what happened to your toe?" He looks down, and his toe was bleeding. Now, seconds before, he's running around, jumping around, you know, crawling around, and then all of a sudden it was, "Oh, He put his toe up in the air, and the rest of the night he walked around with his toe up in the air like that. A little bit later on, he hurt his finger. And so now he's not only walking on his heel, but he's got his finger up in the air. He's walking around like this. And what happened? The rest of the night was ruined for him. Dad, can we just go home? I'm done. Can we just go home, Dad? Come on. He was wounded. So we, you know, after a while, once it was time to go home, took him home, and we took his foot, and we did some things. We cleaned out the wound. We covered that wound. And then we were cautious of the wound. These are the three things that we also have to do. First thing is clean the wound. When our spirit is wounded, clean the wound. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That word sanctify, that means to clean, purify, set apart as holy, or clean for a specific use. I told this in teen church, but when I was in Bible college, I was a bus captain, and I was knocking down trying to get some new kids for my bus route, and I knocked on this one door, and there was an Indian couple. They were an older Indian couple, and they were real friendly, and they invited me into the house, and automatically, as soon as I walked into the house, I was worried. There was a little trail path that we could walk through, and there was just stacks of newspapers and stacks. She said, go ahead and have a seat. Where? She goes over to the couch and she takes a pile of newspapers, pushes it off, says, there you go, sit right there. Okay. You know, worried about what might crawl out from the piles of stuff. And then she goes, now, would you like some tea to drink? Now, we had just gone through missions conference. And at missions conference, one of the missionaries said that Indian couples, if you refuse their drink or if you refuse their tea, they'll get offended and they won't listen to you when you try to witness to them. So I'm not gonna offend this Indian couple. I said, well, sure, I would love to have some of your tea. And so they go over, and then automatically everything started spinning in my brain. I'm thinking, wait a second. If this is as dirty as it is out here, what's it like in their kitchen? She comes back out and she has a cup. She hands me the cup. And there was probably half an inch of slime. And it was obvious they had not cleaned that cup in some time. I'm not embellishing at all when I say there was crusty stuff on the edge. And I'm thinking, if I do not drink this, I will not be able to witness these people. I will offend them. So I take it. I look at that, I'm thinking, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it. I put it to my mouth. I started drinking. And I realized the tea had pulp. Tea's not supposed to have pulp. And I'm drinking. Oh. Thank you. I put it down. But you know what? At our house, we sanctify a cup. If I want to get something to drink, I go to my cupboard and I open up the cupboard and I get a glass that's been cleaned. Why? Because I want to use it. I have a special use. I want to put some juice or I want to put some tea or pop in there, and I want a clean cup. And I'm not going to use a dirty, nasty vessel in order to drink from. I want something that's clean. And God says, I'm the same way. I don't want to use a nasty, dirty, stinky vessel. I want something that's cleaned. And he says, I'm going to give you a way that you can sanctify or clean yourselves up, because you have to be cleaned up before I'm going to use you. And I want a cup that's cleaned up before I use it, just like God does. And he says, the way that I clean you up is my word. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. God wants us to be cleaned up. And if we're going to clean the wounds that we have of a wounded spirit, and we can get wounded. Young people, you can get wounded. Adults, believe it or not, you can still be wounded. And the only way that you can clean that wound out is by taking God's Word that will sanctify you, that will clean you up for His use. God wants to use us, but we need to be cleaned up. Let Him clean the wounded spirit. The next thing that we have to do is we have to cover the wound. Turn over, please, with me. Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Psalm 147 in verse number 3 says, He healeth the broken in heart, and He bindeth up their wounds. He bindeth up their wounds. Flip over to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Excuse me. Galatians. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 16. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 16. I'm going to go ahead and start. It says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit after the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So God says, not only do I need you to clean yourself up, but I need you to cover the wound. You need to ask God to help you now. God to help you with that. Because we cannot live spiritually without God's help. We cannot live spiritually without His help. It talks about the works of the flesh. But then down in verse number 22, when God helps us to do right, listen to these. Listen, think about what these fruit are, okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, what do those sound like? That sounds like the Spirit that we have. The Spirit that we portray to other people. God says, walk in me. Clean yourself up, but then pray to me. Come to me and ask that I would help you to walk in the Spirit. Clean the wound, cover the wound. Lastly, be cautious of the wound. Hey, look, we know what areas we can be affected in. We know what areas can wound our spirits. And so what we have to do is we have to continually clean that. So that wound doesn't get infected. Continually clean that so it can get better. So it can get better. We have to be attentive to the wounds that we've had so it doesn't reopen and get worse. You know, we're going to have a wounded spirit at times. Whether you like to admit it or not, maybe something that is said, something that happens, things that are around us, sin that gets in our lives, or even it's just the devil that's attacking us. Our spirit can be wounded, but God says, get it fixed. Get it right. Cleanse yourself. And He says, make sure that it's covered and have me help you. Have me help you with this, but be cautious that wound doesn't open up. Because when it does, it can leave an even worse scar in your life than the original one that you would have. And it can get even worse, and it can cause even worse problems in your life. Just a simple Bible story about a wounded spirit. And we ought to be careful about these worrisome wounds. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're done. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, the truth that is in your word. Pray, Lord, that you please help us to take inventory of what can affect us. And Lord, what can affect our spirit. Because it's our spirit that interacts with other people around us. And it's that spirit that affects our relationship with you. Pray, Lord, that we would be careful about any areas that might wound our spirit. And if our spirit is wounded, maybe there's just a little joy missing. Maybe there's just a little enthusiasm that's not there that used to be. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us to follow these steps to take care of the wound. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just a quick, brief invitation. Is there anybody in here that says, Brother Mick, you know, something that was said spoke to my heart. I needed something that was said. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Brother Mick, something that was said spoke to my heart. As the piano plays, why don't we all stand? And if you want to just take a second, speak to the Lord about something, why don't you come? We'll be dismissed in just a second, but the Lord spoke to your heart.